like for you this week personally, hearing all the talk about the last time the Cowboys had last won a playoff game on the road, how much pressure there was on you? Just what was it like navigating through all of that?
I didn't listen. Simply just didn't listen to anybody else's opinions, anybody else's thoughts. Made sure I was conscious of what I put in my own head. Got a great supporting cast and my team, people that believe in me. And that's all that really matters to me. And just stay focused on what I can do. Oh, Dakota.
Well, I think I'd take the three.
Prescott. Touchdown.
San Francisco's next. How do you get another road playoff win?
Yeah, excited for it. It's a good team. They took us out last year. We know what we've got ahead of us. Just going to be another great week of preparation and look forward to it.
Well, guys, just when we were saying that Dak couldn't get any dumber, do anything more sketchy on the football field, he goes and pulls that and totally redeems himself. What a day in Cowboys Nation. Never a dull moment. Like I've said before, expect the unexpected with these Dallas Cowboys. They're moving on. Big blowout win for the Cowboys, 31-14 over those Bucks. Could it have been Tom Brady's last game? I don't know. But honestly, who cares right now? Because Dallas just won. We're going to talk about it here on About Them Cowboys. So welcome in. I'm Kent producing and joined by three of the best when it comes to breaking down your Dallas Cowboys. First, it's Saad Youssef from The Athletic out on the West Coast, but pulling in Cowboys duty on the East Coast tonight at the scene of the crime at a place that has hosted many a WrestleManias, but tonight was hosting Monday Night Football wild card round. John Machota for The Athletic. And of course, to host, it's Kevin KT Turner. Hey, KT, welcome back.
Hello, Kent. Thank you. And what a night it was. 31-14. Let's go live to Raymond James Stadium on the pirate ship. John Machota is there. John, my Lord, man, I think of all the things that could have happened, of all the outcomes, I'm not sure that I saw a Cowboys blowing them out by three scores. I don't know if that's something I could have predicted. How are you feeling?
You didn't see them winning like that. You didn't see Maher playing like that. No, that's what's so great about this sport is that you really don't know for sure. I mean, when we did our predictions, I expected this game to come down close game, and I thought Brady would win it in the end. And really, the way that the game started, I didn't feel any different. It reminded me a lot of the way the season opener was, where the Cowboys couldn't get anything going on offense, three and outs, but then the defense was stepping up. I thought Micah Parsons early in this game was as electric as we've seen him in a while. You know, I mean, we know he's been banged up. He's not 100%. And he talked in the locker room last week about how, yeah, but he's got to take his game to another level because this is a playoffs and this is where legends are made and things like that. And the way he started out this game, I mean, no QB hits or no sacks, but just the way he was affecting Brady, the way he seemed so active. I was like, okay, this could be a game that Mike single-handedly keeps them in it. And then Dak just took off and played just an outstanding game. And for me, one of the reasons why I thought it would come down to a close game is because I went back and looked this past week at how Dak responded after some of his worst games in his career. And while there weren't these like great numbers that you could just point to, like, oh, when he struggles like he did in Washington, he'll have this resounding huge answer and he'll have four touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown. Like, there was really none of that I found. And so it kind of made me think, like, I think he'll be better. There's no way that I expected him to be this good, not on the road, playoff environment. And you know, like I asked him after the game, it was, you know, no matter what you do for the rest of your career, people will always remember that you were able to beat Tom Brady just because of how legendary Tom Brady is. And so that's one of those things where, yes, this is his second playoff win. He beat Russell Wilson before. And granted, hey, he wasn't on the field at the same time as that quarterback. But that's how these things are remembered. It won't be necessarily tonight. The defense was outstanding. But when we look back on this game, it'll be remembered for Dak Prescott not only beating Tom Brady, but having a much better game than Tom Brady had. And I don't think anybody was really, well, I shouldn't say anybody, but I don't think most were expecting that to happen tonight.
What about you, Saad?
Yeah, I mean, I thought if it was going to be a one-score game that Tampa was going to win. And I think, honestly, I think you were nervous until it was 31-6. I think when it was 24-6, you still thought that, you know, with 10 minutes left, there's still time for Brady to do Brady things. But
Saad,
I think
hold on, Saad. What about when they recover the onside kick? He throws that deep ball and it goes off Mike Evans' hands, and if Mike Evans catches it, it's a touchdown. Still,
that could have been it.
Still, I mean, I still expect. That would have been wild if that would have happened. And that just seems so Brady-esque when he nearly catches it. I'm just like, oh, this just seems like something. This is going to be way closer than it needs to be.
Should have just gone into total NFL blitz mode, you know, at the end. Just throw the bomb at the end five times in a row. It's like, F it. This is this might be the last time I ever play. Let's go. Another go route to Evans.
But, you know, one thing that stood out to me, I think John hit on it individually, but for me, holistically, like, it. This was a really good display of just complimentary football. I know it's an old coach's cliche, but it was the defense stopgapping until the offense found its way. It was the offense doing enough to where missed extra points weren't the big story. You know, honestly, I don't know if Brett Maher missing extra points ended up winning the game for the Cowboys, because do they go for it on that fourth down where CeeDee Lamb catches the ball for a touchdown if Brett Maher's in sync? I don't know, but you know, I maybe they don't, maybe they do, I don't know, but I'm just saying, I think, you know, I think overall they played very well. You saw CeeDee Lamb, you saw the receivers show up when they needed to, you saw the tight ends of course show up in a big way. Tony Pollard had big runs, so I think overall Jayron Kearse had the red zone interception, Micah Parsons was dominant inside, you just had everything come up. And and the last thing I'll say is, KT, your tweet was absolutely on point. The injuries, the people they got back was just so huge for this team. I mean, what we saw in Washington with all those guys out and then what they were today with all those guys back is a world of difference.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Like, what's very also evident is that the thing that we kind of were leaning on when that Washington game happened, we had this little thing in the back of our mind, like, maybe they just didn't practice well and game plan as good as they could possibly do. Dude, they totally game plan like really well tonight from the beginning on both sides of the ball. But some things happened that haven't happened, quite frankly, in 6 weeks. Ran the ball well. Tony Pollard, about 5 yards a carry. Dak played flawless. That hasn't happened in a long time, right? And Micah Parsons, and it won't show up in the box score, and he's had games where he's actually, you know, caused a lot of havoc, but maybe it didn't show up in the box score. You know, Micah Parsons, from the beginning of the game until the end of the game, was a difference maker, and that's what you need to win. And those are some things that haven't consistently been happening in the last few weeks, and that was enough of a reason to be skeptical about what this team could do. I think, you know, you can fall into like the recency bias thing, and we'll preview San Francisco, you know, later in the week and all that stuff, but why not? Look, there are 8 teams remaining in the NFL playoffs now. 7 of the 8 teams there were the 7 leaders in point differential, right? The other team was the Ravens there at number 8. Like, the Cowboys were one of the top 8 teams in the league all year long. The Buccaneers were never one of the top 8 teams in the league all year long. The men have been one of the top 16 teams in the league all year long. So, I mean, you're a favorite for a reason, and I kind of fell into the trap of just how this team's been playing lately. But, I mean, Dak and Micah, if they're going to play like that, the Cowboys can beat anyone. They can literally go play with and beat anybody.
Yeah, but also, KT, to your point real quick, like, for me, when I picked the Buccaneers, or when I picked the Cowboys to win this game, if you remember, it, like, to me, I didn't even care what the Cowboys looked like against Washington. I watched enough Tampa Bay Buccaneers football this year to know that team is not good. And, you know, like I said, they play like 5 to 10 minutes of good football per game. Pretty much exactly what happened, and that was not nearly enough.
Well, I mean, there was even a point in that game early on where they finally started getting a couple first downs, and Dak had that throw near the Cowboys sideline to Michael Gallup. And it's like Gallup hauls it in, but the pass was really high. And I'm just thinking, man, this thing is just going to be like pulling teeth to score points in this game. And I certainly thought the Cowboys, it wouldn't be like the opener. I thought they would score a touchdown or two, but I never thought that it would explode quite to the level that it did. I never anticipated that happening.
Yeah, that drive was huge because they got to roughing the passer, and then Pollard hit that big run for about 15 or 20 yards. And then that's when, you know, They had a toss play to the outside, and then they hit Schultz up the middle, up the seam. And then, of course, you know, your extra point is way off. And then, you know, in the next drive, you start to get a little nervous because that was the drive when it was 6-0. That was the play at the end of the first quarter, if you remember. Tom Brady was rolling out to his right and just kind of flipped it over to Godwin. And they were driving, and then Tom Brady throws that interception to Jayron Kearse. I mean, that play was a 9-13 point swing because Tampa Bay was either going to get 3, 6, or 7 there. And then the Cowboys ended up not only getting that ball and Jayron Kearse, you know, he took the knee right there. And the Cowboys ended up scoring on that drive and on the Dak naked bootleg. That sequence right there is something that you might forget about. That was huge because it changed everything about the game. It was just a terrible, unlikely, you know, Tom Brady red zone mistake right there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The final score of this game and the way Dak played will make a lot of people probably forget about that Jayron Kearse interception, but that was a huge moment in the game because let's say that Tampa Bay answers right there. Just something even that there was so much game to still be played, but that's something that makes it just the style of the game different. And all of a sudden, maybe it is a back and forth game, and maybe that is something that gets Tampa Bay's offense going. But the Cowboys, you could just tell the way they came out, very focused bunch. And now that we've seen the results, we can say that them losing in Washington was a good thing for this team because they just came out very, very focused. Maybe not Brett Maher, but outside of him, I feel like the rest of the team was extremely focused and locked in. And you just saw some guys play some really good ball. And then to your point, KT, you know, getting Hankins back and Van Der Esch, I thought that was big. I did find it interesting that they did go with the Mac package with Connor McGovern early on at fullback because Mike McCarthy had mentioned that to a group of us like a week or two ago that could be coming back because, you know, let's be honest, a few weeks ago, I mean, the tight ends weren't blocking that well. So how do you get the running game going? Yeah. But it's one of those things also. Are you going to show that at Washington? No, because then Tampa's going to spend all next week preparing for it. So they know that they have to get something out of the run game, you know, and sure. clearly their best opportunity there is getting Tony Pollard the ball as much as possible. And I mean, Zeke had some nice runs, don't get me wrong, but like the home run hitting, the big playability, the stuff that you're going to need to beat a team like San Francisco. I mean, Tony Pollard's got to get his touches.
Can I say this? Like compare and contrast that to Tampa Bay who ran the ball, I think 9 times tonight. I think Tom Brady threw the ball, pulling a box score there. Tom Brady threw the ball 66 times.
Yeah.
I guess Tampa Bay had 12 carries, 7 carries to White, 5 to Fournette. You know, and even Rashad White, I mean, he was averaging 6 yards a carry, and they just didn't do it. They threw the ball 66 times. And then we're getting reports that Byron Leftwich is getting canned and, you know, all that type of stuff. But big difference in the way these teams played.
Somebody else that needs credit that we probably should have mentioned earlier too is Dalton Schultz. You know, Mike McCarthy talked about that after a game, how you look at the great quarterbacks that have played in the league. The majority have probably had at least one tight end or another, at least multiple tight ends that were really good for them, you know, and you do go back and you look at how big like a Gronk was for Tom Brady. And I mean, it goes for a lot of different guys. Yeah, no, Witten, absolutely. But I'm talking like even like the Joe Montanas with like Brent Jones and stuff like that. Jay Novacek with Troy Aikman. Like there's just, and he was just talking about how good Schultz was because let's be honest, when you're playing quarterback, that tight end is somewhere, you know, pretty within your eyesight. You don't really have to, you know, move your sight line very much. Your tight end is pretty much always in the perimeter somewhere there. And to play as well as Schultz in the game, I mean, that one he had along the where he juggled it along the Bucs sideline. I mean, you could just tell he was really feeling in the game. And I just bring that up because, you know, we had talked about, a lot of people had talked about it, that, you know, there was probably a little too much going to Schultz and Cedric Wilson in that loss to the 49ers. You know, last year in the playoffs, it was more like, well, why aren't you throwing more to, you know, CD and why aren't you getting Amari more involved and things like that? And I mean, Schultz deserves credit, man. He stepped up big time.
Yeah. They came out trying to get the ball to CD Lamb and get a 3-and-out. And then once they settled in, you know, it's almost like Dalton Schultz and a little bit of what they were doing in the running game opened up some things to let CD, you know, get open a few times. And I want to mention this too, while we're just kind of sprinkling credit around. I think Mike McCarthy should get a little credit based on how things went. After that Jayron Kearse interception, you get the ball And you drive it down the field, and you may be thinking this when you said Dalton Schultz, because Dalton Schultz got called for that phantom holding call.
Oh, yeah.
Where he tried to hold the guy, he just didn't really do it. Like, his arm was extended. He was actually trying to hold him, but he didn't. And they move him back, but the Cowboys overcome. But going for it, they're on fourth and one. At that time, it's 6-0. There's only one missed extra point on Brett Maher's ledger. It's not that we knew that he had the yips at the time. And they elected to go for it, which I always think is the right play right there, fourth and goal with the one. You score 12-0 because you missed the extra point. On the next drive, Tampa Bay's got the ball, and maybe it's early, it's second quarter, but they had a 4th-and-3 right around midfield, and they chose to punt. And when they did that, the Cowboys got the ball and took it again. And it's like the Cowboys playing with aggression helped not only put them up 12-0, the Buccaneers not playing with aggression ended up hurting them and making them fall down to an 18-0 trap. So let's give the coach a little bit of credit. I know I'm hard on him sometimes, but he definitely deserves that.
Is this Jerry's entourage leaving, John?
Dude, this place. Guys, trying to do a podcast. Man. One other thing I want to say. I wanted to ask you guys, on the TV copy, did the Diggs tackling look as bad as it did in the stadium?
Yes. Yes. Okay,
just wondering.
It was awful.
Man, that was something. And especially early in the game, I was like, I just felt like Brady wanted to get the ball to somebody that was going to be around Diggs just to force him, like to make him tackle, you know, because let's be honest, it hasn't really been that big of an issue throughout the season, but there have been times where that'll happen. You're like, man, you know, that's not good. That's going to come back to bite you. And it never did in this game, but I was just wondering what it looked like from your guys' perspective.
Yeah, no, it was bad. You know, it's going to look like, if you want to play the numbers game, it's going to look bad, like 351 yards through the year the Cowboys gave up. And Godwin had 10 catches. Julio Jones had 7 catches. Mike Evans had 6 catches. But, man, when you throw the ball 66 times, you're going to have, you know, some yards. Like, well, and some of that, a lot of that's garbage yards. So that definitely was a thing. And especially on that first drive where it was 6-0 and the Bucks had the ball and a chance to get off the field right there. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Trayvon Diggs' job is not to come up and make tackles. It was pretty interesting. Deion was on the Manning cast. I actually was on Manning cast duty tonight for my radio show. And, you know, Deion was there where that was happening. Deion's kind of making the same thing. Like, man, I'm not going to be hard on a guy for not tackling. That's not what I'm here to do here. So,
hey, do you guys think that this game will be remembered as a big win for the Cowboys? And I guess it kind of depends on where they go from here. But there was a part of me that wonders, are people going to look back at it and go, well, that Bucs team just wasn't good now. You know, because after a loss like this, it's convincing. Then everybody looks at it. But then if the Bucs win, this is just what Tom Brady does this time of year. He just puts teams on his back. I wonder if people will look back on it and they'll be like, well, that Bucs team really wasn't that good. That's not that big of a deal.
I think what you said, that it depends on where they go from here, that does play a big role. But man, I hear you, but this Bucs team was really bad, man. Like, this was not a very good. There's a reason why this is the first time in Tom Brady's entire career he had a losing record in a regular season. Like, this was a bad Bucs team. If they would have won, it would have been more on the Cowboys coming up short than the Bucs winning. I don't think that this is going to be looked to. Let me correct this. In terms of Tom Brady and the aura of Tom Brady, I get it, but this should not be seen as some kind of like iconic Cowboys victory. I think if you beat the 49ers in San Francisco, absolutely. But I don't think this is necessarily that yet.
So them getting back Ryan Jensen didn't do anything for you?
No,
the reason I bring that up is because that thing was just, maybe it's because it's Monday and there wasn't a lot going on in the middle of the day. But when that tweet went out, or the first person put out there that Jensen's been moved to the active roster or whatever, and it just took off like wildfire. Like, anybody that had an NFL account was just like tweeting about that. Like, he's finally back. This guy's the guy that always had Tom's back and everything. I'm just like, all right, he's going to have a knee brace on. He hasn't played all season. Like, I mean, obviously you'd prefer to have him because that Hainsey that they had is playing center is already dealing with something. I mean, you'd rather have him back, but I mean, it's just, there was, I don't know. Again, I think it's because it's a Monday and there was not a lot of other stuff going on.
I was still like, man, we're still waiting on Gallup to get back fully from a torn ACL. No way that guy's going to be effective tonight. I'm going back to this well real quick just because I want to elaborate on your question and what Sod's answer was. Sod's answer I agree with because the Cowboys didn't play with their food tonight. And the stat I gave you a minute ago about point differential, I've always believed point differential in the NFL is very indicative of team success. And the Cowboys are one of the seven of the top eight, right, are in the playoffs. The Buccaneers were 25th in the NFL in point differential this year. And end all be all, in any real division, they don't make the playoffs. But they were not in a real division. So it's all how it goes and things like that. But, you know, the Buccaneers were not supposed to be a playoff team. I got to ask you this.
What about the division that the Cowboys are in? Look
weird,
at that
man.
Thing. Who would have predicted this at the beginning of the year?
It's weird. And I the Giants thing, I still don't fully get.
Daniel Jones
sure looked good against the bad Vikings. It was wild watching the third best team in the North take on the third best team in the East in a big wild card game.
Well,
the weekend,
to your point, hey, KT, to your point, though, point differential. The Vikings didn't have a great point. Did they?
Vikings were better, but yeah, they were behind Green Bay and Detroit. I think they were like 16th.
Yeah, because
they were just
that
11-0 in one score games. Yeah, the Vikings were 15th in point differential. The Giants were 16th. The Cowboys are 5th, and it's been Buffalo, Philly, Kansas City, Dallas. San Francisco got up there as the year went on when they started smoking people down the stretch. But all year long, it was Buffalo, Philly, Kansas City, and Dallas. And that's why I think it's like clear. There's 8 teams left. Dallas was always a top 8 team in the league. So it's like no surprise. I have an idea. I think they just need to get Garibay back in there this week to really get Maher's confidence up.
I'll tell you, McCarthy did not sound interested in the idea of them bringing in a kicker at all.
I don't know
if you were watching the TV copy, but Jerry and Will McClay were having a lively conversation when he missed the fourth one, I believe. So I don't know what kind of conversation was happening for personnel, but
missed extra points brought out some wild character flaws in people. Dak Prescott on the sideline yelling, "Go for effing two."
I have never seen him like that over something like
either.
That. And he even said after the game that he went up to Maher and said something to him about it because he knew that that clip was out there. And he basically was like, "Hey, man, it's not a big deal. Look how bad I played last week at Washington. It happens to all of us. Like, don't worry, put it behind you or whatever." And that's fine. But in the moment, to be honest with you, yes, it looked like I'm frustrated at Maher, but to me, it also was a little like into the window of just like how fired up Dak was, like, and how much he was taking it to the next level. Cause I'm sorry, but I just don't see him doing that during the regular season. And I understand that people will be like, he always celebrates it, but I'm telling you, after that rushing touchdown that he had, the way he like celebrated and was like yelling like towards the crowd and that, I'm telling you, like, Dak was clearly at a different level in this game, as he should be. I'm not saying that's anything crazy, but I mean, it was interesting to see that because I don't think he does some of that stuff during the regular season.
He's also probably going, look, our offense can't be stopped right now, so let's just go for two. But the other thing I'd say is like, when this, I tweeted this out there because I know what happens, right? Dude, kickers come out during the 11-minute halftime. Kickers go out and I was like, we can let him work through it like off the field. Like, we can let him work on stuff at halftime. We don't have to like get an extra point for confidence. And I know it's different and all that stuff. Real game.
You know what I've always found interesting about
one.
This is what I've always found interesting about the Maher situation is on the kickoffs, how Fossil has always wanted him to just boot it as hard as he can because he doesn't want him. He didn't want to mess with him trying to like, you know, some kickers are really good at putting it right at the goal line, you know? So guys have to return. And Fossil has not wanted to do that because he didn't want to mess with, you know, Maher's swing, you know, and to me, that was always like one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, you say swing, but to me, that seems like you don't want to mess with his confidence. Let's just keep going through the same swing. Let's keep everything the exact same. We don't want to mess with anything mental. Let's just keep this solid. Keep this. Cause I'm sorry to miss 4 extra points. That's not mechanical.
Missing that bad. He missed him bad.
If they don't win this game, or if Tom Brady comes back and game-winning drive and they win by a field goal, it's Scott Norwood, like, never show your face in town territory for Brett Maher. Like, that's – he's got to be buying Dak vacations this offseason for pulling off this win, for that him not being the storyline.
What if he's not kicking well on Wednesday? You know, like this is where it gets wild to me. And I personally felt bad for him. Dude, Peyton Manning was pissed on the Manningcast.
I couldn't believe him as the fourth one.
He was standing up and
the
yelling.
The fourth one was just...
Yeah, because Mike Vanderjack took a ring from him, so
yeah,
he totally
right?
gets it.
He doesn't like kickers, right? He's that idiot kicker, remember? But like the thing that was always a little nerve-wracking, or I don't know if nerve-wracking is a word, but the stories that came out at Maher were all about it. If y'all remember the story about how he was just like, it was all about meditating and visualization. If you've watched very closely, and we all have here, the kicks that were going right down the middle the first half of the season haven't been right down the middle. Like, if you, I wish there was a stat, and maybe there is, for like quality of the field goal based on like accuracy, like what part of the through the uprights you're hitting. He's been kind of missing some off to the right.
Absolutely no sense that this guy that's like dead on from 60. Just can't make a 25-yard one to save his life. It's just unbelievable.
It was
only
the
Cowboys.
I think for McCarthy, and McCarthy might have just been saying it.
And only shows up at the point where you can't replace him too.
But to say this, you can't replace him is nuts. Like, no, we can bring a guy in and let's see. We need to have our best possible kicker out there.
What about Leary?
I know there's no one out there, and we'll throw out the normal names that we always throw out, right? When we play this game. Hopefully he's fine and he's good, but how do you not have a sharp eye on his practice this week? Kai Forbath?
Is Kai out there?
I'm sure he is.
Save the day again,
Kai. Keep him on the roster to boot it into the end zone. I mean, you don't want to take it up to two roster spaces for a kicker. We've done that bit before here, but I think that's a little bit of malpractice to not even consider bringing someone in. I'm not saying you have to do it, but you know they're talking about it. You have to.
I think you either do it, you make the move, or you stick with Maher and he's the guy from now on. I don't think you can bring guys in and be like, we're trying guys out. We'll see what these guys have. I think you have to do it or not. I don't think you can be wishy-washy.
Well,
I don't.
They're going to stick with him then, and you know what? He'll probably be fine. You know, I've seen it one time. I've seen Mason Crosby get the yips and then swing back through and get it together. We'll see though. I don't know. It's
I've seen another guy do it. Brett Maher.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Get it back together.
Yeah. Now I wouldn't say he did it, you know, in back to back weeks, but remember he was pretty off that when he was, you know, when he left Dallas the first time and then he just got it all together.
I'm getting word from the pirate ship at Raymond James Stadium that John's phone has died. So we've lost John Machota. We will be back later in the week. Is there anything else that we need to hit, Ken? I mean, I think we've covered a lot of stuff, but I can Dak was, this is the flawless game that we needed to see from Dak, right? That's the
oh yeah,
that is the game that makes you go, we can go beat anyone. And we talked about the defense, and I thought the defense was great. I think the Bucs kind of played in their hands. I think the Bucs in the second half realized, oh yes, maybe if we just kind of start checking down and things like that, we could probably get some long drives going. But you know, by then the game was over. I'm not worried about giving up 350 yards too much. I worry about playing a team that has multiple threats, and we'll get into that, the challenges that San Francisco holds for you. But I mean, all in all, I thought there were enough guys that made plays in the secondary too. I mean, I thought the Cowboys were a little more physical than we've seen Dallas be in a while. That looked like a fresh Cowboys team.
Anthony Barr had a physical game. Yeah, Mukwamu. Yeah. Had a nice game.
Made a couple plays. Yeah. Osa was good.
T.Y. Hilton, couple big plays too.
Starting to get some of those Noah Brown snaps. That's kind of, I think, what you need just from this pure speed element, right? Just to give you a little more.
We might want to get into this on later this week. Did McCarthy save his job tonight, KT?
Well, I think... I agree with something that just watching the TV copy, something that Troy said after the game is, you know, the expectations for Mike McCarthy were never to come win a wild card game. especially games that you were a favorite. I mean, like you were a favorite, right? I mean, like that's something too. I think we talked about it before the year. I don't know that there's going to be a better option. I don't know if Jerry thinks there will be a better option. But we talked about it before the year. You need to get to the conference championship game. So how things turn out this weekend in San Francisco is going to determine that. I think if you go lose in a bad way to San Francisco, I think they will be looking.
I agree with that, but man, can you think if you're putting your optimistic hat on, can you imagine you beat Tom Brady, then the historic rivalry that is the 49ers, you beat the 49ers, and then you beat the Philadelphia Eagles to go to the Super Bowl? Well, like,
yeah, it's
gonna be insane.
Yeah, hell, I mean, the way the Giants were playing the other day, maybe the Giants upset Philadelphia, and you're hosting an NFC Championship game. So you're starting to think ahead, and you're starting to see how this could happen. And, you know, Mike McCarthy's first Super Bowl ring, as I've said on this podcast way too many times, but they snuck into the playoffs, and that's not what they did this year, but they snuck into the playoffs. They won 3 road games and then, you know, won the Super Bowl in Arlington, and their quarterback played flawless football. Dak's going to have to go be flawless again against San Francisco, but I think he can do it. I think there's a lot of factors in play, and you need health, and you need your offensive line to be good and things like that. But I think you're in that weird boat where it's like, yes, you know, the other thing's weird because you start putting these like weird lines in the sand of like, oh, you got to get rid of him if he doesn't make it here. But the Cowboys over the year were a very good team, and the Cowboys historically are not a team that goes to the playoffs each and every year. I mean, the fact that McCarthy's got him to the playoffs twice in a row says a lot more than you can say about the last 15 years. So, I mean, there are things you got to weigh in there. It's just crazy. The guy who's interviewing for jobs is just the guy who's always been the apple of Jerry's eye. And I don't even think Sean Payton is like a huge upgrade over Mike McCarthy. I mean, I think they're both two guys who have had good quarterbacks, and that got them a lot of wins. You know, is what I think. The Cowboys were ready to go this week, though. And they weren't ready to go in last year's playoff loss. There's little signs that things have changed, like Tony Pollard getting more carries than Zeke. I mean, Zeke basically got garbage time carries tonight to eat clock. You know, it's going to end up being pretty even in the box score. I think it was like 15 to 13 in terms of carries. You know, Tony Pollard was getting 6 yards a carry. Zeke was getting 2 yards a carry, something like that. Right? Like, there was a big stat I saw of running backs who had 150 touches this year. 150 touches. 38 running backs got 150 touches. Number one in yards per touch was Tony Pollard. Last in yards per touch was Zeke. And the fact that like they made it a clear concerted effort that you could tell. I mean, at one point, I think it was like 5 or 6 to 1, you know, Tony Pollard carries to Zeke. Tony Pollard is your other explosive element of the offense. I know Dalton Schultz got the 2 touchdowns. You know, outside of CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard is the explosive element of the offense, and they made it a point to get him the ball. Something they didn't do in last year's playoffs. So, like, there are signs that that tide has turned. I worry about San Francisco's roster, how big and physical they are. The Cowboys really impressed me with how physical they were and holding off Vita Vea. Vita Vea wrecked the line a few times, and they found a way to get around it because they had some creative run designs as well. I think Kellen and Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy should get a lot of credit, and the players should get a lot of credit because it was really excellent, man.
I was going to say, yeah, the play calling was excellent. I love that Dak touchdown play. I've run it a few times, and you know, the end around with Dak. I think it's such an easy – it's like a middle school play design, but it's such a – you know, you get, it's hard to stop because the momentum thing and your eyes shift one way and the Dak goes the other. It's a nice one. And Dak, 7 carries tonight. So looks like he's, you know, it's the playoff time. It's like put the team on my back time. I kind of like it.
They looked like a team who'd been saving it, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's something I think you think about in your head. You know, a team that didn't save it was the Chargers, you know, when they went out and ran everyone out there on week 18 and played, Mike Williams got hurt and then they went and got beat. Like, this is like a team that was saving some things, and that's fine. I'll see what they've got in the bag for next week. And we will discuss that later in the week. when we come back. Probably it'll be a Wednesday record, Thursday morning release most likely, but we'll let you know. Anything else that we need to hit from tonight?
I was going to say, we have a question here, update on Jason Peters. John's not here. He would have more on that.
Yes, phone died. We'll,
I don't know.
We'll find out how.
For, it was a hip injury. That's all.
Really Peters, know, I mean, Jaron Kearse apparently was on the, he was apparently on the, like an exercise bike, and he broke the team out in the locker room. So I think Jaron Kearse is okay, and that's important because he's the purple dot or blue dot guy, right? So, and of course, he's a really good player, could play a lot of different positions on the defense. It's kind of Dan Quinn's whoopee, to an extent, outside of, you know, Micah, who was kind of all over the map tonight. I mean, Micah was just causing chaos at all times. So, I'm trying to think of someone else who might have got banged up. We'll see how we're doing on injuries when we check in with John later in the week. Saad, would you like to give your closing thoughts?
No, I think we kind of hit it all. I think this was a, not to diminish the Cowboys win. I think they got up for it and they did everything they're supposed to do. But, you know, when you go into a game favored by 3 points, when Tom Brady's playing at home, there's a reason you're supposed to win that game. And I'm not, like I said, we were all concerned about the Cowboys after their games against, you know, Jacksonville, the way that ended, and Washington. So they deserve all the credit in the world for doing what they did. But let's see what they have now when they're going up against, you know, an actual titan of a team in San Francisco. And we'll get into that on Wednesday. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about like what happened, and we can dance around it or whatever. Dak needed that. I mean, that's it, McCarthy. Dak needed that game because he had been, I think, playing well at times, but just in a weird spot as of late. And that was huge. I think that's my takeaway is here is your two best players went and led. Dak and Micah Parsons. Actually, if you wanted to argue Zach Martin's one of your best players, that's fine. Zach Martin was great too. But that was the type of thing you get, okay, this is the guy. And all the guys that he gets compared to sometimes either, you know, missed the playoffs or, you know, had a disappointing performance. And, you know, a lot of people would kind of put Kirk Cousins and Dak in those, you know, same conversations. Right. I'm like, man, I don't know about that. I think Dak's different. And I think he's on, you know, or has the potential to get on that level, some of the other guys. He'll never be Mahomes, who's the best player in the league, maybe the best player we'll ever see. I don't know that he's that, but, you know, this is a Cowboys team who proved throughout the year that they're a top team in the league. You know, one of the top 5, 6, 7, 8 teams in the league. I mean, here we are, the final eight. You can't say that they don't deserve to be there. They were the favorites to win this one. They'll probably be 2.5-point dogs in San Francisco, I would imagine. But, you know, we'll cover that when we get there a little bit later in the week. For now, as they say, let's enjoy the plane ride home, guys. You know, that type of thing.
Have a few lemonades.
Have a few lemonades. Hopefully John survives out there in Tampa Bay. I know he was partying out on the pirate
phone
ship.
Phone died, right.
Oh, yeah. Phone died. Sounds like shot.
Conveniently on his way to, a gentleman's establishment.
He told me he wanted to fire off one of those cannonballs. Yeah. So for Saad Youssef and those very, very good Dallas Stars, keep that in mind. Keep following Saad's work with the Dallas Stars. They're good. Got a big win today. I guess Monday. It would have been Monday when we recorded this. They got a big win as well, a little preamble to the Cowboys game. Keep following Saad as he's tracking your very competitive Dallas Stars and possible future Stanley Cup champion Dallas Stars. For Kit Garrison, I'm Kevin KT Turner. We'll see you later in the week because we're going to have a big one to get you ready for the San Francisco 49ers, a classic uniform matchup coming up next week, and we will discuss that later on About Them Cowboys. Thank you. Cowboys win 31-14. Go Cowboys. I'm in love with you. Are you in love with me too?